service. If anybody needs prayer right now, just stand up right now. Lord, for everybody that's standing up right now, help them, God. Help them. I release the answer. I release the power right now. The power of the Holy Spirit of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, and Jesus himself on these that are standing, Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you and the car you drove in on. And I hope that your car's doing well. And it's a little bit different night tonight. That we're going to do, is Carson in the service? He's in there. Okay, Coco, can you go and give these guys these Bible verses up in the sound booth? Go and give that to them. We have been, we've got the teens in here just for this one service. We are, we're going to share tonight on communion. We're going to start in John chapter 6, verses 48 through 58. And I told Sophie, and I told Kimber a little bit about the way worship works and about how the ministry and how the presence of God works. Sophie asked me tonight if I would pray, and I said I would. And I said, listen, girls, I'm going to tell you something very important. The anointing is taught, and the anointing is caught. That's how it comes. I teach people. They get around me, and that'll get on them. I said, I'm going to, for a season, I'm going to pray because you asked me to. You can do it just as good. In fact, you might be able to do it better. But I just want to tell everybody in here, if you have, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you will be filled. And if your heart is full of a desire to walk in the Spirit, desire for spiritual things, this desire for the power of God to come on your life and on your prayers, you're in the right place. We have built this church on the anointing of God. And that means a lot of things. One of the things the anointing means is the direction of God. Another thing it means is the power of God. Another thing it means is the protection of God. I did most of my ministry without any fear of man, demon, or anything else. I just said, I'm the one who's been brought here to do this. And bless God, if you can take me out, you go ahead and take me out, devil. But I want you to know something. Your name is written in the Bible, Satan. You are the only one that we know for sure you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. I realize that your time is short and you're showing out. But be sure of this. Me and hundreds of thousands of others on this earth, we know your time is short. We know you're going to the lake of fire, and you will not be a part of the new heaven and the new earth. You will not be able to stop, and God will wipe away every tear. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more death. It's a new day coming, and it's coming and coming and coming. Is it warm in here? It's warm in here. Who can help me with that? Tommy, go one or two down here, one or two down here, until we see people. You want to tie it for me, sweetie?
Yeah.
Thank you. It won't hurt my feelings because I just had this feeling like, I just got this feeling deep inside of me that if Millie doesn't tie my shoe, I'm going to fall down to my knees. Well, there are only two practices, two exercises in the New Testament. And one is a water baptism. It's an absolute must. Yes. And one is communion. Yes. It's an absolute must. And communion is to a believer, a child of God, what an oil change is to a car. It's a time to get refreshed. It's a time to get real. It's a time to examine your heart. It's a time to renew as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup. You do show my death until I come. And what you do is, as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you release the power, all of the power of the New Testament. We have seen so many get healed, so many get saved in our communion services. So we're in John chapter 6, and I'm going to start there. We're going to talk tonight about communion, and my prayer is that every one of these young people get a better understanding. And tonight I'm going to be asking you to activate the blood and activate the bread, the body of Jesus. Activate it. To activate something, you have to move on it. You can't sit there like you're a tree. You have to move on the things of God. All right, here we are. We're in John chapter 6. I'm going to begin at verse 48. You just be there with me. Yes, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. I'm the manna that came down from heaven. His body, by his stripes, we are healed. His body brings about, his body that was broken and sacrificed for us, brings about every kind of healing that a child of God could need. Every kind. And your spirit, soul, and body. Every kind of supply that you could need. I was telling myself the other day and a few others, you know, I'm going to say something. It may sound arrogant. I don't mean it that way. Would to God that you all live the life that I have lived. I am living proof that God wins every time. Every time. I'm not living proof of a sinless life. No. Something even better than that. Christian sin. Get over it. Embrace and understand who you are. Don't let Satan pull you off in the corner. If communion's about anything, one of the things it's about is in looking at your life. Are you in a known practicing sin? Are you addicted to a certain sin? If you are, you need to come to this altar, make an altar, and you begin to work against that. You begin to believe against that. You begin to trust God. Jesus is your high priest. One of the things that means is he is your forgiver. His work on the cross stands forever. You'll see his imprints on his hands when we go up there. And he's full of power. And he teaches us how to work sin out of our life. Is it possible? Yes, it is. Have you arrived? No, I haven't. But I've made some strides, you see. I've made some good, and please don't take this the wrong way. Would to God every one of you had the blessings and the forgiveness and the power that I've had since I was 19 years old. It was the best decision by far that I've ever made. Some of you in this room may not have made that decision yet. That's okay. But we're going to continue. Yes, I'm the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. He offered his life. He lived like a man for 33 and a half years, and he died like men die. And he died a horrific death. We know that. We understand that. And there's no way I can cover all of this. But I can give you enough in the next few minutes reason why we take communion every Wednesday night. And you'll notice we don't take all night long. We're done in 1 hour because it doesn't take. That's not the point. That's not what it takes. Where's your heart? Can you be real with God? Can you let God come in and change you? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens up, I'll come into them. I'll change them from the inside out. God is not near as interested and concerned about what you did yesterday. God is interested in what you're going to do today, what you're going to do right now, so that tomorrow will be different. Here's one of my children. Actually, stand up, girl. I watched God transform this girl from one of the worst suffering drug addicts I ever saw, with the deepest tremors, to the person that she is now. And you know what the difference was? One day, while Jesus was knocking, she opened up. How many years ago was that?
Almost 6 in September.
6 years in September. I remember the day that we took her to
Gateway.
Me and Uncle Sam. I remember buying her a carton of cigarettes, and I said, "Dear God," I didn't realize it was this bad. They went up to 55 cents in 1974, and I said, "Oh, my God, I'm not paying that." And I stopped. But I had no problem doing that for her. And as we were driving away, they called us and said, "Look, you can't leave her here. She's too sick. You're going to have to take her to the hospital." We took you to the hospital in Van Buren, right? And they detoxed her professionally for how many days?
3 days.
For 3 days. You know what? She came out a different person. You know, tonight you can come out of this meeting a different person. If you just have the desire to say, "By golly, I'm through with that. I'm going to begin to fight against the addictions and the hurts of my life. And I'm going to do better because I trust Jesus. He's going to help me to do better." God bless you. God bless you, Brenda. She's like one of my own kids. So that was my first place to read tonight. We're not going to cover all of this, but I'm hoping to give you enough that you'll gain something. Communion is a time. Do it often. Some of the great faith preachers and took communion. Smith Wigglesworth took communion every day. You can take it at home. I think it's real important for us to take it collectively as a church on Wednesday night. It'll change your life. There's only two practices in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. One of them is communion, and the other one is water baptism. I've already said that. Now, the Old Testament, to worship the Lord as an Old Testament Jewish person, there were around 700 laws and practices that you had to know and learn. I mean, everybody to be. But here it's real simple. They asked Jesus one time, what do I got to do to be saved? He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your will, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's it. If you fulfill that, if you work toward that goal every day, that is an attainable goal, one day at a time. And if not, we have the forgiveness of our high priest, who ever liveth to make intercession for those who are heirs of salvation. The next place I'm going to go tonight, if you've got a Bible, which I hope you do, is in Matthew chapter 6. And this is where I get my views. Kenneth Hagin's main guy, Lee Eller, he said, "Brother Angelo, I've never heard anybody teach on communion like you do." He said, "You could go anywhere. You could have a big church in Chicago where you're from." And Lee was like a dad to me. I said, "But Lee, that's not what God called me." He said, "You're right. Do what God's told you to do, son, and I'm going to tell everybody in this room. If you'll listen, God's got something for you to do. If you'll be open to it, God will show you what it is. Do it." How many of you have some idea about what God wants you to do in this life by the raising of your hands? Yes, yes, yes. Remember, we're just going to touch some of the high points. I don't care if you're a Catholic. I don't care if you're Assembly of God. I don't care if you're a Lutheran. I don't care if you're a Methodist. Communion should be a part of every denomination, of every Christ-centered church on the planet. And we take it seriously here. And in the book of Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. If you would follow with me, where the word of God says this. Let's see if I'm in the right place here. That is not the right place. I am going to try right here. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus said this, "Unless you drink of my blood and unless you eat of my flesh, you cannot be a part of my covenant." He made that very, very clear. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to finances or anything else. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you cannot be." Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." He was talking about communion. One of only two practices in the New Testament. Everything is simplified on this side of the cross. Everything is. It's made very, very simple. And, well, what if I don't? You know what? Go ahead and try not doing it. Tell me how it works out. I don't want to know. I just want to do what Jesus said to do. It's not a very hard thing, what he's asked us to do. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show my death until I come back. And that literally means you release the power that comes from the cross, from his cross. It's the power that'll take you from being a junkie to being free from that. for being somebody that feels let down to being somebody that's fulfilled. Let's turn to another place tonight. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23. And this is Paul telling the Corinthians. Corinth is in Greece. He founded and built a powerful church there. And in 1 Corinthians 11:23, he says, I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me, for as often as you drink it, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes back. The power of the cross is all wrapped up in the death of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why, now listen to this, you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some of you have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. We should be thinking about what we're doing here. How many of you in here would say, I believe in God? Okay. If you really believe in God, now, some people use these verses in such a way that everybody says, man, I'm not worthy. But that is not the intention of these scriptures. The intentions of these scriptures is that you examine your life right before you take communion and you get things right with God. Well, what if I have to get things right 10 times, 100 times? Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Trust in God's process. Keep doing it. If you still have an addiction to anything, keep telling him. He's not tired of hearing it. As a high priest, Jesus is your forgiver. And what he's looking for is you to take communion tonight solemnly. Seriously, think about it. If he had to wait for people to be perfect, I wouldn't be able to take communion. Neither would you. He's waiting for you like a person waiting to get the next dance with you. He's waiting patiently for you to open your heart. Say, God, I'm going to trust you with this. We're not asking you, nor do we ever ask you to stand up and tell your deeds. It would defeat the purpose of communion, which is to bring you closer to him every time you take communion. Every time you eat of that bread and drink of that flesh, drink of that blood. The word says in the book of Revelation that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by constantly giving our lives back to him. That's what we're doing tonight. We're giving our lives back to Jesus absolutely, totally tonight. How do we do that? The word that I just read said, but let a person examine themselves and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And what should we do? If there's, how many of you know what error is in your life? Okay. Error is error. Are you obligated to sin? No, you're not. But the whole New Testament is written, first of all, to the sinner. And it's a very short message. Get saved. That's the message. But the rest of that is written to the person that has asked Jesus Christ into their life. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, which was written to the church and not to the sinner, the word says this, if we confess our faults and our sins, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of your sins. One of the secrets of getting free from any addiction, from any problem, is confession. All of the better recovery programs make that crystal clear. There ain't no redemption for people that are saying, I ain't got nothing wrong with me, bless God. Well, okay. Because when I get down on my knees, and you see me down on my knees, many times I have something I want to confess to the Lord. Why? Because if I'll confess it, he'll forgive me. He'll cancel the power of sin off of me. He'll cancel it. And he'll fill me with his healing power. And he cannot change you if you keep being self-defended. On that day when we stand before the Lord that's spoken of at the latter chapters of the book of Revelation, you don't want to speak on your own behalf. You want to speak on behalf of the fact that you activated the blood of Jesus in your life, that you activated the power of Jesus and the power of the bread. Healing comes from his body. By his stripes, we are healed. Healing is the children's bread. That's what the Bible says. Our deliverance from sin comes through the blood. Through the blood. We plead the blood. We activate the blood of Jesus on our lives. And in so doing, we wake up, we get up, and we go on another day, another week, and we just go on. And we trust in the process of the Lord. I did not make up this process, but God did. This is how we get free. This is really how people get free. This is how Brenda got free almost 6 years ago. I've seldom seen anybody so broken physically. God can heal anything. God can change anything. God can help you with any problem. Some of you may be in here looking for a husband or a wife. God hears you. God has a husband and wife for everybody in this room. Everybody. Everybody. Let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known. I'm going to ask you to activate communion in your life tonight. It says this here. Jesus said, the word said, if you won't let me correct you, then we've got a problem. But he said, if you'll let me correct you, I'll get you in order. I'll get you ready for you to draw that last breath. I want you to think about that for a moment. We've got a few moments left. Once again, we'll be out of here by about 8 o'clock. But I want you to stop for just a moment. Can we have just a little bit of some kind of music? Just make sure it's nothing by Fleetwood Mac. I'm going to ask you to look at your life for just a moment. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that every time that you examine your heart that there's something wrong. But I am saying this. At times, there's something wrong. And you need to know what to do about it. You need to tell your Heavenly Father, Father, I've got a problem and I need your help. It's a bigger problem. I need your forgiveness and I need for you to help me overcome. I promise you, if you do that, if you trust God, see, I'm asking you to trust somebody that you probably have never seen. I'm asking you to trust God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I pray that he's knocking at somebody's heart's door saying, I want to love you. I want to help you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't expect you to be perfect. I expect you to be mine, though, and share everything with me and open up areas of your life that you've kept me from. Now, I'm going to ask you right now to come to this altar or make an altar where you are and examine your heart until you're sure you're ready to take the emblem of the bread, the emblem of the cup. If there's something that shouldn't be there, confess it to Jesus, to God alone. If you're going to take communion, come to the altar. Make an altar where you are. Let me say this to you. In my personal family and in Millie's, we have a long line of the curse of divorce on our family. And I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ and if it wasn't for communion, we would be divorced. There's a power. It's hard to explain. It's the power of God. It's the power that will help you. I want you to do one more thing. I want everybody here to take a moment, and I want you to ask God if you're in his will. Ask him right now. Show us, Father. If any of us are not in the will of God, show them, Lord God. Show them what they need to do to get into your will so that you can work further with them. I ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Tommy, are you going to do the communion tonight? Do you want some help? Anybody? Larry? Yeah. You're about to receive the cup. I'm sorry, the bread. That bread represents supply of every kind, whatever you need in your life. There's nothing that God cannot give you and supply to you when you receive your emblem. And if we could continue to have music, stand up. Activate the power of communion. If you don't need anything in the way of supply of any kind, spirit, soul, or body, well, that's fine. I understand that. I do. If you do, stand up and tell the Lord secretly between you and God why you're standing. Up in the sound booth. Let me check one more thing out here. Put up everybody gotten their communion. Now I'm going to ask you to do something to make this experience real. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what happened. Remember why I went to the cross. I'm going to ask you to break this. And in breaking that, we're saying this. I'm not worried about the person to my left or my right. Jesus, I put you on the cross. My sin put you that. If you believe that, break your emblem and say with me, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me a Savior. I could not save myself. I can't do it without the help of Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. He's the only Savior of the whole world. He'll save anybody in the world. And I'm glad that he saved me. If that's the case, would you please eat with me? While the emblem, the cup, is being passed out, this cup represents deliverance, total deliverance from the devil, from addiction to curses to anything you can think of. Some people just have bad dreams. Some people feel like they have bad luck. Some people feel like they make wrong choices. There isn't anything that Jesus cannot fix with the cup and the bread of him. If you need deliverance of any kind or forgiveness or something broken off of your life, stand up quietly between you and God. Tell him why you're standing. He's the only one that needs to know. He's the only one that should know. Your experience with Christ is awesome. Your experience with Christ is personal. I want you to say with me. See, you know what's important? If you're made in the image of God, you're going to do things the way God did them. God spoke, and this world came into existence. Everybody that's standing, I want you to say, Heavenly Father. And if you're sitting, I want to make every devil know. I want every person to know. I want everybody in heaven to know. In Jesus' name, that I believe that there is power in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. If you believe that, will you drink with me? Be seated. We're going to collect these cups.